Good evening.
Good evening.
It's great to be back with you tonight. Appreciate your presence so that we can study God's Word together. I did notice that we did have a few visitors in the audience. We are glad that you are here. We hope that you'll be back every opportunity that you have. Just one quick announcement that I wanted to remind everyone. If you want to go to Light the Fire, tonight is the night to get your application in. If ages 13 to 23 would love to have as many people as who want to come to that. The applications are on the white table out in the foyer. If you want a t-shirt and are not going, there's a sign-up sheet out there for that. Tonight's the night for that as well. I'll turn that t-shirt order in Wednesday morning. And so if you're wanting one, need to get your name down and size down tonight. Have any questions, please feel free to see me, and I'll do my best to answer those. New Year's resolutions. So what we began looking at this morning, looking at some common New Year's resolutions, but looking at them from the spiritual side of things. We noticed the first resolution to lose weight. We talked about that from the standpoint of losing sin. We talked about shedding some weight and how we can shed sin by becoming a Christian and then by living faithfully as a Christian. And then we talked about the idea of a proper diet, studying God's Word and making sure that we're learning as much as we can what it takes to live as a Christian. We moved from that to our second priority, which was get organized. And we talked about priorities. We talked about making sure that God is our life, that we're focused on living our life for Him. We talked about the priority of edifying, of strengthening one another. And then we talked about the priority of being engaged in worship services and in other activities where we can spend time with one another. And that brings us to the third priority that we want to notice tonight, and that is to save more. We want to save more. Now, obviously, this is a resolution that's made from my financial standpoint. But, of course, I want us to look at it from an evangelistic standpoint. We all know the verses, the Great Commission, Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 talks about that we are to go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. But as you know, as I think about verses that are important and stressing to us the need to teach others the gospel, Luke 19, 10 I think is one that we miss oftentimes. Because in Luke 19, 10 we read that the Son of Man, this is Jesus speaking, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That tells me that Jesus' whole purpose, His reason for coming to this earth, was to save others. That was His whole mission. His life was lived with that purpose in mind. He gave His life on the cross with that purpose in mind. He was resurrected with that purpose in mind. He ascended into heaven with that purpose of coming back and getting those who are saved. His whole life was about that. If I had no other verse, knew of no other text that talked about it, if it was that important to my Savior, how important should it be to me? And as we think about this idea of saving others, let me give you three ideas that you need to use. Number one, first thing we need to do is we need to identify people who you want to share the gospel with. In the coming year, think about those individuals who you want to talk to about the soul-saving message of Jesus. Identify those individuals, not, hey, I just want to talk to some people. You see, when we do it that generally, you know what happens? Nothing. We never do anything about it. Get specific. Get you a piece of paper out, number it, and write the names down. Identify the ones that you want to reach out to. And then start praying. Start praying for those individuals. And that really falls under our second thing that we need to do, and that's invest. You want to identify them, those individuals, and then you want to invest some time in that individual. And the first thing I would say in investing that time is invest it in prayer. Start praying for that person. But also invest time to get to know that individual. You've heard the saying before, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You're going to be far more effective in sharing the gospel with them if you've spent some time with them and they realize, hey, this person really does care about me. This isn't someone who just, you know, kind of knows me, and this is someone who cares about my well-being. And so we need to identify the individuals. We need to invest. And then number three, we need to invite. It's good to identify the individuals. It's important that we invest time with them. But if we never get to this invitation part, we're missing the boat. Invite them to come to services. Invite them to some other activity that we're doing. Invite them, and this is important, invite them to study the Bible. It's a simple question. Hey, would you be interested in studying the Bible with me? We need to ask it, though. If we never extend that invitation, then nothing ever is going to happen. So as we think about this idea of saving more, what do we need to do? We need to identify those that we want to reach with the gospel. We need to invest some of our time and energy in them, and then we need to invite them, both to services and to study the Bible with us. That brings us to our fourth resolution. Quit a negative habit. Not necessarily a spiritual twist to this one. Just pick one. Smoking, gossiping, lying, cursing, procrastinating, worrying, biting your fingernails. That's one that I did several years back. I used to bite my fingernails all the time. That's not an easy thing to break. But we all have negative habits. Some of those might be sinful in nature. Others, biting my fingernails, you're not going to go to hell for biting your fingernails, but it's not a great habit to have, you know. Whichever category the habit falls into, just pick one and make it a purpose to eliminate that habit from your life. Of course, if it's something that is sinful, you'll be better off spiritually because of it. If it's something that falls into a different category, you'll just be better off overall as a result of it. But it's a great thing every year to pick something out that I'm doing that I don't need to be doing and remove it from my life. All right, that brings us to the fifth and final one. Number five, spend more time with family. Spend more time with family. As we think about this, obviously we need to spend more time with our Father. And here I'm talking about, we talked about studying God's Word in an earlier point, which is part of spending time with my Father. But here I'm thinking about communicating with God through prayer. Prayer is so important. I've told you before, if you're not praying daily, you're not being as faithful as you can be. Prayer is our lifeline. And we all know, there's not a person here, if I was to ask each person individually, do you believe that it is important to pray daily? Every person in here would say yes. And all of us would agree with that statement. Yes, it's important to pray daily. But how many times do we go through a day, we reach the end of the day, and it dawns on us, I haven't prayed at all today. And I know I'm not the only one that has had that happen. We get so busy with other things that don't matter eternally, that we forget some of the most important things. And friends, prayer is so important. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, therefore I exhort first of all. Notice what he says, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, Paul writes, brethren, pray for us. In 5:17, he would say, pray without ceasing. Psalm 88 and verse 9, my eyes waste away because of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. There are so many passages in our Bibles that emphasize the importance of prayer. We need to be praying people. Let me give you some suggestions. Number one, find a regular place and time to pray every day. You know, that's what Daniel did, wasn't it? After the decree had been signed concerning the den of lions and anyone who prayed to anyone except for the king, It says that Daniel went in to his chamber to pray. It says, as was his custom. What did Daniel have? He had a regular time and place that he prayed. You could set your watch by Daniel's prayer life. We need to find a regular time and place. Secondly, realize that you are truly speaking to God. I think maybe sometimes, whether we would say this audibly or not, part of the problem is there's a disconnect occasionally because there's no one speaking back to us. You know, we don't have a problem calling someone on the phone, right? Because they're talking back. We know who's on the other end of the phone. And if you're talking to someone and they've been silent for quite a while, what do you normally say? Are you still there? I don't like talking on telephones. I just don't. Micah's making a face right now because as we were dating, she knows this. My sisters will call and they'll start talking. I'm just sitting there. And eventually, because I'm not saying anything, they'll say, are you there? I think sometimes that's the way we feel with God, maybe. Because there's not an automatic reply, we might begin to wonder, are you there? He's there. He's always there. Has always been there, will always be there. We need to realize that we're truly speaking to the God of heaven. Number three, believe that He will answer that prayer in your best interest. It might not be the answer that you wanted, but it's the answer that you're going to get. I've told you this story before. To me, it illustrates this pretty clearly. When I turned 18, I had wrecked my Ford Ranger that I'd gotten when I was 16, and it was time to get another vehicle, and I wanted the Mustang. And I wanted one with the V8, the one that you stomp the gas pedal and it sits you back in the seat. All right, that's what I wanted. Dad got me a Mustang. It had a four-cylinder in it. Dad answered my request, but he answered in my best interest. Because truth be told, at 18 years of age, if he'd have got me the one with the V8, I probably wouldn't be standing up here right now. I would have wrapped it around a tree or a telephone pole or something else. You see, sometimes we think we know what's best for us. God knows what's best for us. And we must believe that He'll answer those prayers in our best interest. So as we think about spending more time, we need to, number one, spend more time with our Father. But then also, as our point suggests, we need to spend more time with our family. And I'm talking about here spending more time with our church family, our Christian family. I loved what Mr. Steve said during the announcement because I had something similar to that in my notes about the fact that if you don't like to hang around Christians, well, then you're not going to like heaven. And as he alluded to towards the end, and probably you're not going to have to worry about going there anyway. Because as Christians, we should want to be around one another. The Bible speaks of the love that we should have for one another. In John chapter 13, as Jesus is speaking to His apostles, He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. And then He says, by this all will know that you are My disciples if you have love one to another. That love is the badge of discipleship. It shows people that we are followers of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 4, Paul writes, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. Is not provoked, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. In verse 13, and now abide these three, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Now we hear those verses many times, and where do we hear them? We hear them spoken at a wedding, don't we? And that's appropriate. There's nothing wrong with that. But you know, really within the context of that passage, that's not speaking just of a love between a husband and wife. Paul's speaking about the love that we are to have for one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what he's talking about. He just talked about how Corinth had problems with their spiritual gifts and people were elevating this one over that one. And he said, let me show you a better way. The better way was love. He's still talking about the church and the fact that they were to have this type of love for one another. Philippians 2:4, he said, let each one of you look out not only on your own interests, but also for the interest of others. Man, if that doesn't fly in the face of the logic of the world today, the world says you look out for yourself. Jesus said, no, you look out for others. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's important that we care for one another. I was told by an older preacher one time, the moment you stop caring for the congregation in which you preach is the moment that you need to step out of the pulpit and not get back in. And I believe that. But you know, that doesn't just apply to preachers. We should all have a love for each other. How do we accomplish that? Spend more time together. Have people over for a meal. Doesn't have to be fancy. I eat peanut butter and jelly at my house, and it's okay. Go out to eat with someone. Once again, it doesn't have to be expensive. Dairy Queen, they got good food. We got winter warm-up meals coming here in January. It's a great opportunity to spend time with one another. The Christmas party tonight, that's another good example. We have other activities, other things from time to time. All of these opportunities to be involved in each other's lives. As was mentioned this morning, and again tonight, sending cards of thanks and encouragement. Praying for each other. There are countless ways in which we can work to help each other out. You know, if we'll spend more time in each other's lives, we'll know when needs arises that need to be handled. We'll know when each other needs help. A shoulder to cry on, someone to lean on. Let's love one another as Christ has loved us. You know, if I was going to sum up these five resolutions all into one simple statement, it would be this. In 2019, I am resolved to be a faithful Christian. What about you tonight? If you're not one, will you take that step? Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, turning from sin and repentance, confessing that belief in Him, being immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Maybe you have questions about that. Let us know. We'll sit down. We'll open this book with you. We'll study together. Maybe you've done that. You are a Christian, but you've turned away from Him. Come back to Him. There is no one that loves you more, not even yourself. He wants you to go to heaven, but you have to want it too. Friend, are you ready? Are you ready for that day? Are you ready to stand before God? If you're not, we ask you to come right now as together we stand and sing.